All right, good morning, everyone. This is Brandon with IHCA starting our Iowa Total Care monthly managed care member call. Today is July 14, 2021, and we're joined by representatives of Iowa Total Care today. We'll start this off like we do all of our other calls with a quick review of informational letters that have come out over the last month or so, just to make sure everyone is operating under the current changes or any current updates from the Department of Human Services regarding managed care or fee-for-service. And so since our last call, there have been a couple that have come out that would be of significance to you all. One big one being the IL-2239, which was the EVV June update. This would be for assisted living and RCF providers. The update is for them that if you utilize shift staffing, you would be able to make EVV requirements optional for you if you complete an attestation. So that is IL-2239, making EVV optional for AL, RCF living environments as long as they utilize shift staffing. And an attestation would need to be filled out by your program or agency, or I guess by program, ALRCF, if that is something that you would like to be created optional for you. Another IL that has come out was 2244. It's resumption of in-person assessments and service plan monitoring. Basically, the department here is trying to scale back some of those, or they're working to scale back some of the COVID-19 relief efforts that have been in place during the public health emergency, which is actually still technically in place, but they're starting to return operations back to normal. So that is a IL-2244, just wanting to put that out there for you all to make sure that you've had a chance to look at that. And then the last one that I have is IL-2238. It is regarding home and community-based services, home health aid, and nursing visits, basically describing or redefining what a visit is. And that is defined as a duration of a visit is 0 to 2 hours. So they're just kind of re-clarifying what is considered a visit. I would encourage you to all look at that info letter as well. That is IL-2238. We do run these in our bulletin as they are released. So you may have already seen this, but just wanted to flag it for you all here as those being probably the three main ones that would pertain to you all, or at least the members of IHCA as of significance to you. So with that, Jeannie, I'll check and see, do you guys have any updates that you'd like to make before we go into questions? And I guess what I'll also, before I hand it over to you, Jeannie, if you do have questions for Iowa Total Care, I didn't have any pre-submitted questions for them. And so if you do have some, you'll need to put them in the chat now. I did end up getting some via email this morning from a nursing facility provider that I'll ask. But if you do have questions for Iowa Total Care, please put those in the chat box and we can definitely address those as they come in. But Jeannie, I'll let you have any some time here if you'd like to make any opening comments or updates from Iowa Total Care's perspective.
Sure. Thanks, Brandon. Just a couple of things. We are always trying to look for a better way of doing things, making things more easy as far as communication goes and such. And our marketing department has worked with us, communications area, to update our provider navigation pane on the left-hand side. I have just shared the general provider information where you go to our website. And on that, you will see now that The system configuration updates have their own navigation pane on the left side, as well as the provider alerts. We kind of had them, you know, the provider alert, we were putting the configuration updates under the provider alert, which didn't make sense on when provider alert came out, you know. So the good news is everyone had agreed that we needed to clarify that a little bit more, so it was easier for providers to find that. So anytime a provider alert comes out, and if you aren't signed up for provider alerts, please do so. It is very valuable information. And then the system configuration updates, them on Fridays. That information is updated every Friday for any updates that we do share. So, and then the addition that that we have is that Hillary is normally on our calls, which she's on today, but we also have an individual who will be joining us in the future, and her name is Judith Lucas, and she is one of the reasons for Judy's appearance on our call now is that Claims has done kind of a revision and an update of their, and Hillary, I don't want to take your thunder. You can kind of explain what you've done with your staff as far as delineation. But anyway, we will have an additional person who is a SME, if you will, on our calls so that we can have more detailed information as well. So Hillary, you want to share a little bit more information about how your team is getting a little bit more directed towards specific providers?
Sure. So we reorganized some of the members on our team by provider specialty or provider type. So in this case, it's nursing facilities and ICF IDs kind of fall under the same type of configuration. So we have Judy, who is a SME for nursing facilities and ICF IDs. There will be some crossover, obviously, with some of the provider types where different team members will work together. Michelle, who's actually on today, does some of the home health stuff, so they would work together, but Judy will be the one that comes and speaks on the calls. I will probably also be on the calls, but she will be the main one looking at all of your claims and getting responses back to you when you have concerns, as well as speaking on this call. So hopefully it'll make it a little bit easier to see any overarching issues and get them resolved faster, having one person looking at the claims and identifying the issues and trying to resolve them quickly. So I'm hoping it goes much smoother going forward. I think we just got the CP fix in and are finishing up processing some claims and getting those out through the check run. So you should be seeing payments for those shortly if you haven't already. And then going forward, hopefully we don't have any huge issues, but she'll be watching for them as she's looking through the claims data every day and looking at the check run to resolve any issues quickly that come up.
Thank you both. Jeannie, did you have anything else, or was that the
update? No, Hillary had the big thunder today, so let's do those questions.
Well, I think that'll be very helpful. I think that'll be very helpful, you know, having subject matter experts or SMEs for nursing homes. And then obviously you said Michelle would be for home health agencies, and you know, having the availability of those individuals as well as you, Hillary, obviously will help us, you know, answer some questions that we may have as they come through. And so we appreciate you guys' willingness to include additional folks on the call that could provide some valuable resources. So thank you for that.
Of course.
So I do have a couple of questions that came to me through email. And again, as a reminder, if you are having any other if you have any other questions for Iowa Total Care, knowing that we have Michelle on with us from home health claims, feel free to throw those in the chat box if you have anything specific. I do have a few here that came in on the nursing facility Medicaid side that I'll go into now. So the first one that we have is, it seems like this provider who has multiple facilities is asking if rate updates have been put in the system for October through December 2020 for nursing facilities. Have those been put in place already?
Yes, those were put in the system quite a while ago. I know there was a few providers that got rate updates a little bit later for those timeframes. We have updated those as well, so those should be in the system also.
And then if a provider goes back and rebills those claims because they may have they may not have used a customary charge, they may have billed their Medicaid rate and then those say they went up for October. If they've gone back and rebilled those already, there shouldn't be anything holding those up from paying at the increased rate.
There should not be, but let your provider rep know when you submit those claims so that we can make sure they don't hit any denials as they're coming in, because we can then watch them at least and make sure they don't deny for any reason.
Okay.
I mean, any invalid reason.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. And then obviously the inverse of that would be if a facility had a rate decrease, what's the timeline on Iowa Total Care going back through and recouping for the funds that may have been overpaid if their rates went down, say, in January because of case mix?
So typically we would see that the rate went down and then we would do a recovery right away. Because we had the CP issue and a couple of other rate updates come in, we're actually reprocessing putting through the system all of the claims right now so that we can identify recoveries for both CP and rate issues, and then you'll receive a recovery letter for those with the normal 60-day turnaround. I think it's 30 days to dispute and then 60 days to either send a check in or we'll put a negative balance on your account and it'll go towards future claims. So, but typically we would see that the rate went down and do a recovery letter pretty quickly, going back to the date that the rate was effective. And then you can dispute it like normal if you choose to.
Awesome. Thank you. And then would you mind providing any commentary on, I guess, does Iowa Total Care have preference as to whether a provider submits like a customary charge when providing their bills or submitting their bills? Or just maybe talk quick about lesser of criteria and if ITC has any preference on that or thoughts?
I know historically, especially when they did the rate rebase, it's a little bit easier if you put in a customary charge rather than your Medicaid allowed, because then that allows us to just go back and reprocess your claims without you having to submit corrected claims to adjust that charged amount. So for us, it's a little bit easier if you do use that customary amount rather than the Medicaid allowed amount, because there's been a lot of times where we've gotten rate or retro rate updates or, you know, things like that where you would have to rebill your claim in order to get paid the higher amount, because we do use lesser of on these claims. So if it goes up and you didn't bill enough, we can only pay you up to the amount you billed. So I think it's generally a little easier for all of you and for us to bill the customary charges so that we can process those if there's any changes without you having to rebuild those claims.
Perfect. I completely agree with everything that you'd said there, Hillary. It just kind of makes sense, I suppose. I don't know if on the inverse, if there's like if providers see that by submitting the actual Medicaid rate, if they have more accuracy in the payment of the claims, or I'm not sure. I'm just, you know, throwing something out there, I guess. But I do think, like Hillary said, as rates change or update and they go retroactive, and if they are an increase, which oftentimes they are, it prevents additional admin from having to resubmit those or rebuild those claims. So I appreciate your comments on that.
Yeah, no problem.
We do have a few in the chat now, and I'm going to go to the one that actually is on this topic, and it is, how do we determine customary charges for the NF rates to bill appropriately? I don't know. don't know that there's technically like a set amount, I suppose. I know some individuals will bill their private pay amount, and then that typically is in excess of, it's typically in excess of what the Medicaid rate is. And so some do that. Some will just have like a flat rate that they submit all their claims at. I don't know, Hillary, do you see anything specific, or is it just kind of all over the board, really?
It's kind of all over the board, and I'm not sure at all how anyone's calculating it in particular, but it tends to be just a higher rate than what Medicaid would pay, which allows us to do those adjustments. But honestly, on our side, because we have lesser of, it doesn't really make a difference, I guess, what customary charge you end up using.
Right.
So let's, I would,
yeah, I don't know if there's any, I don't know if there's any kind of requirement that it has to be tied to something specific. I'm not sure
that I'm
on
aware
that, honestly.
Of, but I'm not sure either.
A couple others that are in the chat. When will the COVID-19 vaccine billing code issue be resolved?
So is this for the vaccine administration or the vaccine itself? Because both of those are updated in the system. So I guess, can you clarify what issue you're seeing on the COVID-19 vaccines?
I would assume administration. Heather, I'll let you respond in the chat to that. Because the vaccine itself, I thought, was a free vaccine.
Okay, I see what the issue is. So those, the CL denial, which is saying that this, exactly what she put in the chat, that we're waiting on the state to approve the code, that denial code has been removed off the procedure codes, and those are reprocessing right now. I think we just had our first project for that close in the last week or so, which means that the claims could still be going out on check run for those. So you should be seeing payment for those any day. I'll double check and make sure that we have all the nursing facility COVID vaccine claims in that project. And if not, we can get those processed, but it is fixed for new day claims. So you can submit those without problem.
Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then this next chat, I don't know. It's probably not claims, it would be more on the auth side, but do we know why authorizations are taking longer? So in this case, this provider has an admit from June 25th and they don't have their auth back and it's still sitting in a pending status. And they also have therapy auths for many different clients that they requested over a couple weeks ago and they still don't have. And this would be for home health. Any thoughts on that? I think I saw Jeannie unmute herself there.
I knew where that one was going. You know, Di has shared that it does take 2 weeks for on a normal basis for those. That is over the 2 week mark. So yeah, I would find that odd. So you know, we can certainly take that back to Di. We kind of let Di off the hook here because her questions kind of ceased for, you know, for the most part and such, but I don't know that I've heard that there are any issues as far as authorization. So we can certainly, if you want to send me your information or send Tony the information, we can certainly reach out to Di and find out what that's going on. Normally when you have issues with your authorizations, do you normally reach out via fax? Do you call? What steps have been taken to find the status of that? So help me help you.
Perfect. Jen, if you don't mind, send me an email quick with, I don't know, some kind of identifier. I don't know if you would have an authorization number or some kind of identifier that would allow Iowa Total Care to be able to look up your pending auths, and we can see what the scoop is on that. Another one that I see in the chat here is, if I disputed a recoupment letter for January 2021 rates due to the CP, How long does it take to correct those? And Melinda, maybe if you wouldn't mind putting in when you disputed those. But just in general, I suppose, do we know how long? So in May, she'd sent it in. Do we know how long it would take from a dispute for a correction to be put in place? I guess if it's agreed that the dispute's accurate.
Yeah, so those disputes actually get sent over to our claims team internally here in Iowa. We review them from May. I mean, typically we review them pretty quickly, but it depends on how long it takes the corporate claim shop to route that dispute to our team. Typically we respond right away, at least to that team, and then they're supposed to let you know what the outcome of it was. If you send information to your provider rep, we can find out where your disputes are and let you know what's going on with them. But from May, they should have been answered already, but I can double check on your status and find out.
Awesome. And Melinda, if you'd like, you probably know who your provider rep is, but if you'd like, I can also take that information and I can pass it along. This next question, I think, is in regards to hospice pass-through. We had a majority of our hospice room and board pass-through claims process with an incorrect CP, and were advised by our provider rep to bill with summarized visits, one line item with multiple units. Is this appropriate guidance on that?
Yes, it is. We've actually had some issues in the past with claims denying as duplicates when you bill one unit per line. So it's much easier also to determine, or for us, if we're reviewing the claim, to see that the CP amount is correct if it's on one line instead of split up amongst multiple lines. So it does make it a lot easier for us to review the claims. And it, I think, speeds up your payment a little bit, because we have to, as we're looking at claims and picking out random samples from the check run, it's much easier to be able to validate it and make sure it's correct if it's all on one line with multiple units. And you can still split it up, like if there's, I mean, for hospice, there wouldn't be like days where they were out of hospice, but for like ICFIDs and mainly ICFIDs and sometimes nursing facilities as well, if there's a time frame where they had to leave to go to the hospital and there's a bed hold day, you can still divide those up. But as far as like one day per line, that's where our system struggles a little bit as far as looking at duplicates within the same claim and things like that. So that is appropriate guidance.
Awesome. That is what I see. I'd like to give another couple moments here for anyone else who has questions for our representatives from Iowa Total Care today. I'd like to give you the opportunity to ask those. I suppose if you'd also like, since we have plenty of time, you could also unmute yourself. Jeannie, do you have something you'd like to comment on?
No, I was just getting ready for anything I could assist with.
Okay, I do see that you put the provider relations territory map link in the chat for anyone who may not know who that individual is. For them, looks like it was updated in March of 21. So if you haven't been or looked in a while, you may see some different names, I suppose. So any other questions can either go in the chat, or I guess if you'd like, you could unmute yourself and ask as well. I figured we would get some questions in, even though we didn't have many pre-submitted for y'all. I thought we would fill up a little bit of time and ask some pertinent questions. I appreciate those who have submitted those through the chat or to me through email. That's obviously what these calls are for, is to be able to ask these questions. And looks like we got one here from Janet. Is Iowa Total Care aware of when the HMS auditors are conducting audits, and are the ITC recoupment letters put on hold during those times?
Are you referring to them validating third party liability or them actually sending out recoveries themselves? Can you clarify, Janet, really quick?
I think, so I have heard this before. I think with the HMS audits, they go back and they look at a specific time frame, and basically we used to have these through Iowa Medicaid. They would come through and audit all the claims and just look and see if there's any overpayments. And I think the question is, are these audits, when they're conducted, oftentimes they may run simultaneous as an ITC recoupment, and it's possible that claims would be found on both. And so then there would be a discrepancy as to where do we send the funds back to? Do we do it on our recoupment letter? Do we do it on the audit? I'm not sure if Janet, they look at our rates and CPs and then take back funds. So I think I'm along the same thought process here. Any thoughts on that?
I'm going to have to take that one back because we use HMS also to look at just TPL data. So let me take that one back and find out what happens when they do that and how they're handling that with the ITC corporate claims team. And then I can get you a response on that, Janet. I'm not entirely sure.
Perfect. Looks like we have another one on hospice. Some of our hospice room and board pass-through claims are not being paid at the rate that IME has listed on their website for the facility. My provider rep has confirmed that the rate IME sent to ITC does not match what is out on the website. Is this in the process of being worked along with correcting the CP? I'm not sure. Do you know, is this a known issue at all, Hillary, that rates may be sent to ITC don't match necessarily what's on the website?
We don't hear it too often, but we have heard it a couple of times, and I'm not sure if the website is getting updated regularly or if it's a issue on what we're getting sent. I don't know where the issue lies in particular, but we do use the most updated rates that that the state has sent us for all providers. So but the CP project will include rate updates. So if there was a rate that needed to go up, that will also be corrected in this project. And I know that hospice, I think some of the remaining claims are still going through the check run, but quite a few of them should have gone out already. If you have specific claim examples, I think you're with Unity Point, and I can check with Heath on those claims and take a look.
Awesome. So I don't see any more questions in chat or in my email. So I think you ladies may be getting a half an hour back of your day. But thank you all for joining us and answering the questions that many of these providers have. I just saw another line maybe unmute themselves. I don't know if someone had a question or.
Brandon, I did. I sent you an email and I haven't received a response in regards to home health aid being for EVV. Since assisted living was able to opt out for shift work, will home health aid be able to do that as well?
So the EVV optional status applies specifically to congregate living settings like AL and RCF. It would not be applicable for home health agencies, regardless of how staff is scheduled on the home health side. It was a specific piece for AL RCF.
Okay, so how are they going to do the home health aid in EVV since we do it per visit, not per unit?
Julie, with IHCA, I know you're on the call. Do you have any thoughts on that piece for our home health regarding EVV?
Brandon, I don't just sitting here. I'm guessing I don't without, I guess, asking further questions. No. Are you, whoever's speaking currently, are you currently billing your home health aides through EVV today?
No, we're not. We're only doing Homemaker, and we're having issues with Homemaker through EVV. And since it is already mid-July and we have to do the home health aid through EVV starting January, we need to start getting things in place because we do home health aid per visit, not per unit.
I think home health aid would be January of 23.
You're correct. I was going to go there. It is 23. So that won't be this coming January for sure. But if you're having issues with the Homemaker, is it with Iowa Total Care that you're having issues getting the Homemaker paid through EVV?
No, it's Amerigroup.
Okay. We can address that on the next call then. Perfect.
Thanks, Carrie.
Okay, thanks, Brandon.
Okay, so seeing no more questions, thank you to Iowa Total Care for joining us again on our monthly call. And then those of you, those individuals who have asked some questions today, appreciate that. Our next call will be in about a month, second Wednesday of every month, starting at 10:30. So we'll look forward to you all joining us then. And we will start our Amerigroup call at 11:30. We'll talk soon. Thanks.
Thanks, Brandon.
Thank you.